The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to a couple of races at Doncaster on this edition, alongside the racing at Town Moor. We've also got action over the obstacles at Ludlow, racing on the level at Newcastle and Kempton. There's also an Irish car to come from Punchestown on Wednesday. Hope you can join us for all of the action. Then Sam Norris here, joined on this edition of the podcast by Rory Delaghi to take a look at a couple of races tomorrow. Laptop issues aside, Rory, how are you?
Yes. Aside from that, great. Although the fact that the laptop is falling apart at the seams is not a good thing, is it?
You've never worked in IT before then, have you, Rory?
No.
No.
Well, I've turned it off and on again.
Right.
But that's not really the issue.
Yeah. Some people would say that would qualify you for a job in IT.
It does. It's a well-known fact.
Before we look ahead to...
Have we seen the IT crowd? That's a documentary,
yes,
you know.
Yes, indeed. Before we look ahead to the action at Doncaster, a little bit of Cheltenham news to come, first of all. Just want to talk through a couple of horses who've had their targets firmed up for the festival, beginning with Sam Crowe, who was front page of the Racing Post today. This one less of a surprise than the one that we're going to move on to a little bit later on. Connections have confirmed that it is indeed the Ballymore that he goes for, as opposed to potentially the Supreme or maybe even an ambitious tilt at the Champion Hurdle. The Ballymore's always been the target for the horse. Plenty of people saw how impressive he was in the Deloitte and thought he could have a serious chance in the Supreme or possibly even the Champion Hurdle. Have they landed on the right decision in the end?
I think he'd be suited by the Supreme.
Right.
The nature of the race, depending what kind of Supreme it is. Sometimes the Supreme can just be a really, really strongly run race, helter-skelter around Cheltenham. The Ballymore tends to be more evenly run. You tend to get less traffic in the Ballymore as well. Interestingly, although the Supreme's over 2 miles and the Ballymore's over 2.5 miles, historically, you're more likely to see a Champion Hurdler in the 2.5 mile race and a Gold Cup horse in the Supreme. If you go through the results over the last decade or so, it's remarkable how few Champion Hurdle horses come through the Supreme.
Right.
Okay. It should be the best trial, shouldn't it? You know?
Yeah.
To over the same course and distance, and yet it never seems to throw up Champion Hurdle horses. The race is run usually at a different tempo. And the Supreme, if you look at the times of winners in that, you know, when Champion Fever won the Supreme and Hurricane Fly won the Triumph Hurdle on the same day, Champion Fever was considerably quicker. And there are plenty of instances of the novices actually going faster throughout than they do in the Champion. And often the strongest stayer wins the race. I was talking yesterday about when Noland won it under Ruby Walsh, when he was absolutely nowhere coming down the hill and couldn't keep up with them. And he'd fallen out the back of the telly, essentially. But Ruby Walsh just allowed him to fill his lungs and didn't panic. And they eventually started coming back to him. And he finished very strongly to beat Straw Bear. That can happen in the Supreme. And that would suit Sam Crowe down to the ground. The faster they go, the happier he is. And although they see him as a Gold Cup horse down the line, that history has shown that it's not a bad thing to run a Gold Cup horse in the Supreme. So I don't think it makes a huge difference either way, which race they went for, but if there is a vulnerability with him, and that's very much open to debate, whether there is any vulnerability with him, it might be that he could get caught out in a tactically run race. Whereas I think it looks a weak Supreme to me. I know Get a Bird's been reasonably impressive, but you know, when you look at the horses who sported the same silks as him over the last few years, he doesn't have the same aura as some of those. So, the Supreme might end up being a weaker contest than the than the longer race as well. So, you know, I'd have kept both in my mind for as long as possible, really.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Gordon wants to decide, you know, now which races he's going to go for, whereas Willie Mullins does exactly the opposite.
Yeah, just,
you know, he might be veering in a certain direction, but he waits until every I has been dotted, every T crossed, every piece of information is in his grasp before he makes those decisions. And it'd be interesting to see whether, you know, when Gordon's saying this is definitely where the horses are going, so the same thing with Apple's Jade. She's definitely going for the Mare's Hurdle.
Yes.
But, you know, she'll be kept in the Champion, she'll be kept in the Stayers. And as when trainers aren't taking their horses out of races, you have to bear in mind as a punter that the reason they're keeping them in is to keep their options open. And until they're taken out, then you need to bear that in mind. You can't say, the trainer said he definitely wouldn't run. Well, you know, he's paid a bit more money to keep it in the race, so you bear that in mind when you're making punting decisions.
It's sort of by the by now, because it sounds as though he isn't going to go for the race. But given what you've mentioned there about Sam Crowe appreciating a faster, more frenetic pace, given that Connections have said, you know, he's going to be a chaser, which, well, I mean, with the exception of Apple's Jade, they all are. All the Giggenstown horses are all going to go chasing down the line. So it's the old adage of whatever he does over hurdles is a bonus. Could he have realistically had a tilt in the Champion Hurdle, given that if you take Bouvardaire out of the race, it's fairly open in behind. He's going to go chasing, so there probably won't be a next year for the Champion Hurdle, if you like. Could that have been a viable option for them?
It's hard to tell, really. Certainly in terms of what he's achieved on the clock, he's got a bit to find in terms of the Champion Hurdle. But then again, you're looking at My Tenor Euros being second favourite for that race.
Yeah.
In places. And, you know, Fohin looking eminently beatable at the moment. So, yeah, it wouldn't have been the daftest idea. But there haven't been too many novices who've turned up in the Champion and won it, particularly with his background, you know, sort of a point-to-point jumping background. You know, we've had really high-class ex-flat horses win the Champion as novices in the past, but nothing really with his background. And the question is whether that would be impinging negatively on what he would do in the future.
Yeah. Okay. The other high-profile name who's had his festival target laid out this morning as we record this podcast is Yanworth, and this one a little bit more of a surprise given Alan King's comments in the recent weeks and months. Yanworth is going to go for the Stayers Hurdle. They're going to revert him back to smaller obstacles just when it looked he was finally beginning to get the hang of fences, putting his best run over fences to date last time out when winning the Dipper Novices Chase. Have Connections seen the performance of Super Sunday and thought, well, hang on, we beat him last year at Aintree, and he's now favourite for the Stayers Hurdle. Could this be a winnable task for us? Because it didn't seem a few weeks or months ago like reverting back to hurdles was ever going to be an option.
Yeah, I can't hear the question over the schadenfreude, I'm afraid. There'll be a lot of people having fun with this, given that Kingy had a bit of a rant about people who'd never sat on a horse telling him he should go back over hurdles, which is it's a dangerous thing to say if you're training horses for JP McManus, because the bottom line is, Kingy said, he's not going back over hurdles, and that's that. Well, if you're training for JP McManus, you can never make it a statement like that, because you know you get a phone call from Frank Berry and he says, I'd like you to run him in a 6 furlong cellar at Southall. That's where he's going to go.
Yes.
You know, so that it was always a possibility that he was going to go to the Stayers Hurdle. And bear in mind what happened exactly a year ago with Bouvardaire.
Yeah, of course.
You know, also
he had a few chase runs. Yeah,
had a good start over fences, and he would have been, you know, without Altior, he'd been favourite for the Arkle. He won both his chase starts, and yet, out of the blue, early February last year, Nicky Anderson tells everyone that he's decided that Altior is going for the Champion Hurdle. I wouldn't want to say to Nicky, you didn't really decide, Nicky, did you? You had a chat with Frank Berry, and you might have said, you know, it might have been something that was under consideration the whole way through the season. But, you know, when there was suddenly an absolute decision made, that absolute decision was made by Frank Berry / JP McManus. And that's the way it goes with that outfit. However big a trainer you are, you do not call the shots. So it's not a huge surprise to see him in there. Interestingly, someone pointed out that he'd been shortened up in the betting. If you're betting, most of the firms are betting non-runner, no bet.
Yeah.
And if you're going non-runner, no bet, and then you shorten a horse up on the basis that he's going to go for that race, doesn't make any sense at all.
Correct.
Theoretically, you've already factored that in, haven't you?
Yes.
You're pricing the horse up as a runner.
Yeah.
So when he's declared a definite runner, you can't shorten him again, because that process has already been done. So Yeah, listen, he's got a very good chance based on the Super Sunday form from last season. I'm not sure Super Sunday is a true stayer at 3 miles.
Look, mightily impressive over two.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Super Sunday was rerouted to the Champion Hurdles. It doesn't have an entry there, but there's a supplementary stage.
Yeah.
It's just a case of whether Alan Potts' daughter wants to make that kind of decision, or whether she's just running the horses where they are for now and letting them, you know, there's going to be no new horses bought, I don't think.
Yes.
And that's going to gradually run down. So whether she wants to be making decisions to supplement horses for races, I don't know.
Might that make the decision more based on Jessica Harrington's suggestions?
Yeah, I mean, Jess said straight after the Irish Champion that, you know, he's only in the stayers.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you take that as being gospel, well, it's not like she said, we could supplement him for the Champion Hurdle, but I've got no intention of doing that.
She
just said, he's
facts.
Not in the race.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but there is a way of getting him in the race if you want him in there.
Yeah.
So that's the question that has to be asked. There's no hint of it so far, to be perfectly honest. But then again, if you want to back him, knowing there's a non-runner, no-bet clause in there, then you're entitled to do that. I thought he got outstayed by Yamworth at the entry last year, marginally. And I thought he got outstayed by Apple's Jade at Leopardstown over Christmas. He didn't stop as such. He just was beaten by stronger stayers, having looked in control briefly in both of those races. He was very impressive over 2.5 at Cheltenham last season, and clearly two and a half is probably his ideal trip. I think you've got a horse who falls between trips at Cheltenham and who is top class. You run them in the Champion Hurdle. You don't run them in the stairs and see them just run out of stamina.
Or do you wait for the entry?
Again, we saw that with Annie Parr. She just ran out of stamina up the hill
in the
stairs. She ran an absolutely cracking race, and then she won the Champion Hurdle. And you'd rather just fail in a Champion Hurdle than just fail in a stairs.
Yes.
And of course, you'd much rather not fail in a Champion Hurdle than run out of stamina up the hill in a stairs.
Yeah.
So for me, I'd love to see Super Sunday run in the shorter race. Yamworth's a serious candidate for that. His jumping's not particularly pleasant to watch over hurdles or over fences, but he does have he's got a very big engine. It's not a phrase I particularly like. What he's able to do, and he's shown this on a number of occasions, is he's able to get himself out of trouble with a strong finish, not necessarily a sprint finish as such, but of course he's by a very good miler on the flat. Mm. He's not bred to just be an out-and-out stayer.
Yeah.
But he clearly stays very well while also having a bit of speed for that trip. He's looked short at speed over 2 miles because he doesn't do anything in a particular hurry, but he's got the class to be placed in the Champion Hurdle. He didn't really give his running in the Champion last year, but the collateral form he had at the trip showed that he was good enough to be in there. But his jumping fell apart a little bit under pressure at the speed they were going. In the stairs, that'll be less of an issue for him. But he's still capable of blotting his copybook by losing ground. And at the Cheltenham Festival, I know it's less important over 3 miles, but if you're slow over your obstacles in a championship race, or you lose ground and you lose momentum, that's going to cost you. And of course, he lost the Ballymore, the Neptune as it was, a couple of years ago because they took him wide to get a good view of his hurdles. Rather than jumping among horses, he ended up losing quite a lot of ground compared to York Hill, and that I think was crucial in the finish. If he'd saved the 10 lengths he lost by going wide, it would have been a very interesting race between the pair of them. And you know, that shows that there is a little bit of a weakness there. But in terms of class, he deserves to be the price he is at the moment. And if you thought Super Sunday might go elsewhere, then you could argue that he should be favourite. I love Sam Spinner, but you know, he's not been to Cheltenham. And the races that he's won will be very different to the race that he's running in at Cheltenham. I think everyone would love to see him, Sam Spinner, win.
Yeah.
But he isn't the most solid local favourite, if you like, because the chances are he's going to be running a much quicker ground than he has done. He's going to be running on a very different track to the tracks that he's been on so far. And, you know, when you go to the Cheltenham Festival, you like to have horses who are proven in the conditions.
Yeah, certainly. So Super Sunday remains the 3-1 favourite for the Stairs Hurdle. Sam Spinner 5s, Yanworth 6-1 after this morning's news. Penhill 10-1, 12s, and bigger prices for the rest of them. We're going to move on to take a look at matters a little bit closer at hand and go on to some of Wednesday's races now. And we're heading to Doncaster for a couple of races there at Town Moor, beginning with the 2:15, which is a novices hurdle over 2 miles. Got a field of 14 down to contest this at the time of recording. What do you make of this heat, Rory?
There's one very, very interesting horse in the race. It's not. It, it's It's a good size field. Trainer is very happy to go to Doncaster for better ground. You know, it's still heavy in places. Most tracks in the south, Doncaster tends to get better ground than most. So although it is soft, it's good at soft in places, and it will be much more forgiving than conditions we're seeing week in, week out. And Air Navigator didn't have a great start over hurdles, went unseating at the first at Newbury. But he looked a very, very good prospect in bumpers. I remember him winning one at Exeter on his debut last year, in which there was a very warm favourite who'd come over from Ireland. And Air Navigator won that in the style of a decent horse. He was then runner-up in listed company at Cheltenham after that. And, you know, the type of horse he should be taking high rank. He's a seven-year-old. You know, it's taken him a while to see the track. But he's a big horse who's needed time. You'd like to think that unseating at the first isn't necessarily a guide to how well he will jump. I'd rather be with one that fell unseated at the first obstacle than one who fell at the last,
okay,
as a rule, next time out. And I'm hoping the fact that he's got that U on his card means that he'll be a backable price, you know, because he does look better than the most he's up against. He is, I see, in the slightly dubious betting forecast you're looking at there. He's put in a sort of 7-4 favourite, and that'll be fair enough with me. I think he looks like he's got a touch of class. He's from a decent family, son of Yates, out of presenting mare, and he was quite a short price for that that novice hurdle at Newbury, which is won by What's Wrong With You. I'd hope that he'd be up to making amends pretty quickly. Paddy Brennan riding. Paddy's riding with a lot of verve at the moment, as you saw on cue card the other day. And despite the fact that it's a biggish field, I think he's got very solid claims.
Air Navigator then in that 2:15 race at Doncaster. Then on to the 3:20 from the novice hurdlers to the veteran chasers. This is a veterans handicap chase. Just shy of 3 miles is the trip for this 3:20. And a decent pot on offer, as is the case with the vast majority of these veteran chases. Andrew Mount will tell you that these races often go the way of a 10-year-old, one of the younger veterans.
Andrew's approach is just about the youngest horse.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad idea. Although we've seen some real veterans come into the fore in the final of this recently. But yeah, as a rule, look for the least exposed runners in the race. Most of them are on the downgrade, or the form has plateaued and they're struggling against younger horses who are improving.
Yeah.
The veterans chasers give them a real opportunity against horses in similar mould to them. And they're hugely popular.
Yes.
Everyone knows the horses. You don't feel that the races are made meaningless by something a stone ahead of the handicapper bolting up. But there might be one who's well ahead of the handicapper here, ironically enough. And that will be the selection. It's a horse called Band of Blood, who I've had my eye on for quite some time. He's a horse who's he's been with a few trainers over the years. I think he started off with Pat Doyle in Ireland. He ended up his career in Ireland with Mouse Morris and then moved to the yard of Richard Newland. And he'd been placed in the Irish National as a young horse, as a seven-year-old. And I thought then that, you know, he would, completely unfancied at the time, I thought he would do very well in similar races. Richard Newland's done very well. I mean, I think you'd have picked him up as a Grand National hope a couple of years ago. And he's got a similar horse this year in the National.
Right.
Who was also placed in the Irish National as a young horse, who he's picked up from Elmery Holden. He didn't click immediately for the yard, but he was better than the result a number of times. He was third in the Grimthorpe Chase at Doncaster, looking like... I don't think he quite stayed in the Irish National. I don't think he quite stayed in the Grimthorpe either. He then had nothing go his way in the Ultima at Cheltenham, but again caught the eye, shaping better than the result, finishing eighth in that big field. And he then would have gone reasonably close at Aintree in the race that preceded the Grand National, but for his jumping letting him down in the closing stages. He's then been off the track for quite a while, best part of 2 years, and had dropped a long way in the weights. He made his debut for Richard Newland of 135, and I thought he'd be going up from that because Richard's such a yeah. good trainer at bringing horses back to their best. And yet after that long absence, he came back and the handicapper, because of the absence, had dropped him to 119 and he absolutely bolted up in a veteran's chase from Harry Topper, who's a lightly raced horse for his age at Exeter and goes well in the mud at Exeter as well, Harry Topper. Slammed him. You can knock the form to some degree. It did fall apart a little bit, but he won it easily, travelled well, jumped better than he had done previously. I would imagine he'd been carrying a little bit of an injury. You know, one of those that doesn't really show yeah. up at home, but in races, the horse doesn't use himself properly and ends up making mistakes. And I'm hoping that's the case because he jumped very well at Exeter. That was off 119. He carries a penalty into this. It's only 10 days ago. That would be the slight concern. There's a quick turnaround. Mm. But Richard will want him to be running at one of the big meetings. In order to do that, he needs to have his rating go up. We don't have entries for the Cheltenham Festival yet, but I imagine he'd be in races like the Kimura and the Ultima yeah. again. He's also got an entry in a couple of days' time at Warwick. So the plan is to get this horse up in the weight, so he's rated 135 plus, and he's guaranteed to get into a race at Cheltenham. So he'll need to be winning this off 126. But he was 126 before yeah. that Exeter race. You know, and he was 135 when he joined the yard. So I think he's probably got, ironically for a race like this, potentially a stone in hand. He's not, you know, he's not been a profitable horse to follow for a while, but the chances are that he's just needed something sorting out, and that long break will have helped him to do that. And now they've got a clear run with him. He can pick up where he's left off, and he looks like he can defy this mark and maybe go on to better things. He doesn't have a Grand National entry, but as I said, Richard's got a remarkably similar horse partially in this ownership as well, okay. who he has in the National, who's worth looking at. But Band of Blood, I think, will take a fair bit of beating as long as this race doesn't come too quickly on the back of the extra run. There'll be a lot of talk about that, you know, the bounce factor.
Yes.
But again, I would assume that Dr. Newland will have been aware of that when he started this horse's campaign.
Band of Blood, it is then in the 3:20 race at Doncaster for Rory. That goes alongside Air Navigator in the earlier 2:15. As two horses potentially follow on Wednesday at Town Moor. You'll be able to hear all of the racing live on William Hill's Racing Radio from all of the meetings. Doncaster, Ludlow and Newcastle in the afternoon with action coming from Kempton Park on Wednesday evening. There's also an Irish card at Punchestown as well. Might try and take selected bits and pieces of the Irish action on Wednesday. Thank you very much for that, Rory, and best of luck.
Pleasure, thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.